You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. We're doing an instant recap show. This show will be on Friday morning, and it's brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. And Spike, obviously the Seahawks just won. They won 22-16 against the Arizona Cardinals, but really, they lost Richard Sherman out for the year. He's going to be out for a portion of next year with a ruptured Achilles. Just tell me how you feel about that. Instant reaction.
Terrible?
Terrible. there's no real other way to cut it.
Yeah, I mean, Richard's, you know, he's made every start for 6.5 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer, or he's on that trajectory even with this injury. He is, personality-wise, as this team sort of came into its own, when he took the mantle of going up for every single press conference and doing a press conference on behalf of the defense, and this started back in like 2012, and being the face of the defense and sort of announcing to the world that the Seahawks defense is a unit that matters, like that personality, that tenacity, that confidence, that intensity, that's been what's defined this team for so long. It's a brutal loss. It's a brutal game, you know, and it's just like deeply sad. And I think that Richard's a guy who took a lot of unfair and frankly sometimes racist criticism early in his career for the way he looks, the way he was behaving, but he's as smart as anybody on the team. He's as hard a worker as anybody on the team. He's as good in the video room as anyone on the team. He's as much a technician as anyone on the team. He's been a top five player at his position almost every year of his career. He's been a number one player at his position for a few years of his career. I mean, you can't say enough about Richard Sherman. He almost gets lost in the mix because guys don't go towards him. And that's just the nature of playing cornerback, is you sometimes only show up when a big play gets made against you. But man, it's just a tough loss for the Seahawks in so many ways. And it's tough for him. And, you know, you just hope that he makes it all the way back and can keep playing at a high level. It's a very difficult position. It's a big injury. It's also, though, you know, it's the sort of injury that guys make it through. And it's also, you know, it's interesting. Sidney Jones tweeted at him during the game. There's a guy who's a rookie in Philadelphia who, you know, is on UW and is dealing with an Achilles injury and is almost all the way back within 9 months. And so it might be the sort of thing where he is back next year. And it might be the sort of thing where he never comes all the way back. And like, that's where we're at right now. That's what happens with a big injury like this. And it's, certainly, you know, we can get into the implications for this season. There are reasons to be optimistic and there are equally serious reasons to be pessimistic about what this does to the Seahawks chances. But, you know, just on a personal level, Richard's been one of my favorite players in the history of the league. And so it's just really sad.
Yeah, he's been a polarizing player for a lot of different NFL fans, but as a Seahawk, he's been so easy to root for because he's a guy that you want on your team, and if he was not on your team, you'd hate to play against him. And Richard Sherman, he's really, I really respected the way he carried himself on and off the football field, because not only would he talk the talk, but, you know, he'd back it up with his play, and he'd be as in your face on the field as he was behind the microphone on a press conference.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was one of one in that, you know, he didn't differ, like from the locker room to a media scrum to the sidelines or on the football field.
Well, I think that's a great point, is that Pete preaches it so much, and you can see Pete's emotions talking about losing Richard post-game that he's not even ready to think about it. But Pete preaches so much consistency within the program and consistency to your core values and beliefs. And Richard embodies that as much as anyone else on the team in his own way.
Yeah, because like there's no fluctuation in his personality. Like,
yeah,
Evan from Hawk Blogger, just Sweet Nook, he's like one of the all-time like toughest, like mentally on and off the field. Like, he's like, that's the first time I've seen that kind of emotion from him besides like pure intensity on the field. Like him breaking down at the end of his presser, which absolutely gutted me. And he talked about wanting to be out there for his teammates and going into battle with the young guys so they wouldn't have to go out there by themselves. Kind of being the not prototypical football player, but setting an example to maybe play through some things if you can, just to be out there with your brothers, so to speak.
He played the Super Bowl with one arm,
one arm.
Yeah. So, it's as big a loss as you can get without ending the year. We know that an Earl Thomas or Russell Wilson injury ends the season effectively if you talk about the Super Bowl. We don't know if that's the case with Richard Sherman, but it's as big as it gets. He and Bobby Wagner are the next two on that list of guys who can end the season. So we'll see. And also, for at least the short term, it's a reminder that, we are blessed and spoiled with a really great team, the sort of team that you can constantly dream on having a Super Bowl win. But, you can lose those individual wins. You can lose how great an individual week is and getting every W when your team is that good, when the stakes feel that high. And this is a reminder that, every week is an opportunity to watch your team win or lose a game, and that's fun. And that's something, as a baseball fan or a basketball fan, it's much easier to sink into that, really enjoying an individual game without thinking too much about the context of the season. And that you lose that in football. And sometimes that's great, and sometimes it makes it all not so fun. And in a weird way, by sort of lowering the stakes a little bit. And I've talked to some friends who are Packers fans, and in their case, the Aaron Rodgers injury lowered the stakes too much. But lowering the stakes a little bit actually can make things a little nicer. It can make you a little more rational when you watch the games. And so, if it turns out that Jeremy Lane and Shaq can't step up, and I think they can, we're going to get into this, but at the very least, we can all breathe a little bit, and there's a little bit of a shrug, especially after seeing the impact Earl's absence made last year. We get what this means, but also Jesus Christ, how lucky are we that Jeremy Lane mysteriously failed a physical in Texas? Oh my God! Right now, we've still got three starting caliber cornerbacks on this team, despite losing a Hall of Fame caliber guy. How lucky are we, Grant? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it tells you not to take anything for granted.
And yeah.
Just to, slow down and appreciate things. Because we get so high and low with every single thing that even on a play-by-play basis in a football game. And, like you were saying, it'll just have a slow down. And we're not going to be expecting an entire side of the field to be shut down for 95% of the game. And, it's going to be a little bit more back and forth. And we're going to see, bigger plays. But also that could, spark a change in the way that Seahawks play offense in counter to what happens on the defensive side of the ball.
And well, so, maybe. Although they didn't. Well, I don't know. We didn't see that last year when Earl went down. I think it's okay. I don't know. We'll see.
I say that because we've seen the Seahawks really start the game trying to run the ball and then seeing it not work and trying to adjust in that way. And so if teams are starting to put more points on the board right away, like we saw in the Texans game, then the Seahawks are going to be more willing to go away from the run.
I don't think that's true, though. Like Pete talks about it all the time when he talks about playing a guy like Brady or Aaron Rodgers. That's when they run the ball more, is because they want to shorten the game. They want as few possessions as possible, especially against up-tempo passing teams. And so, you know, when you look at some of the teams they have coming up, especially when you look at Philadelphia, Atlanta, and the Rams, I'm like, especially if Dwayne Brown is healthy, they're going to run the ball a lot more than we'd like, because they want those teams to not have more than 8 possessions. You know what I mean? They want, because if they have 8 possessions and we pick them off once, we're right in the game, you know, as opposed to like you give those teams 10, 12 possessions, 14, you know, like you're in trouble. You're in trouble because they're going to beat you at some point. So I don't know. I think on the like we're going to see some more ugly slugfests if we can slow teams down at all, or we're going to see that our defense doesn't work and we're kind of boned. And then they might just like throw it in a little bit, have some fun. In which case, you're right, and I want to live in the fun world where nothing matters, the lol nothing matters world. But I think until it's proven that we can't play without Richard, I think we're actually going to see it get ugly. So sorry to be a damper, a little downer. Just like, you know, Richard Sherman blew his Achilles. So.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's like I've yet to like had that full like exhale, it's going to be all right moment.
Yeah. Well, and okay, so this is something I tweeted, and Ben Baldwin immediately jumped in my mentions to tell me I'm an idiot, but I think I'm not an idiot. So you look at Atlanta last year, and they lost Desmond Trufant. And Desmond Trufant was the only elite player on their defense. And Atlanta plays the exact same scheme that Seattle plays. And he plays that number one cornerback shutdown spot. And they brought in guys who were way worse than Jeremy Lane. They brought in like their number three corner, the guy that Brady ended up going after at the end of that Super Bowl. Yeah, he's not as good as Jeremy Lane. Like, he's not close to as good as Jeremy Lane.
I think he had a few interceptions at the end of the season, but they were like luck. Like,
yeah, like, well, and Jeremy Lane could have had an interception tonight. Like,
right.
Jeremy Lane picked off Tom Brady in a Super Bowl. Jeremy Lane is better than Robert Alford. And unlike Earl and Bobby and Bennett, you take Sherman out and the knock-on effect isn't crazy. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yeah, that position isn't locked down anymore. And we'll see. We haven't seen what it looks like to not have Richard Sherman. And Desmond Trufant, as good as he was pre-injury, wasn't Richard Sherman. But, like, there's something to be said there. Now, Ben comes back with, like, Atlanta had a historically great defense or offense last year, and that's true. I don't really have a counter argument to that, except to say like the rest of the talent on Seattle's defense is way better than the rest of the talent on Atlanta's defense was. Like, you know what I mean? If Dwayne Brown can get healthy and we can be a top 10 offense, which I think is well within the realm of possibility, and the rest of our defense gets healthy, and even without Sherman, we're, you know, top 5 defense. That's still good. That's good enough to get there, baby.
And still, if we get there, you know, you're talking about a timetable where it's not out of the realm of possibility for Chris Carson to come back. And
maybe, yeah.
And I think that, you know, even coming off an ankle injury like that, we've seen that he's probably our best option out of the backfield. You know, we'll have to get there. But, you know, Rawls isn't looking like the guy. Procise can't even walk on either of his ankles. Can't stop spraining them. And then, you know, McKissick, while he's, you know, a fun, like, third down guy, and you kind of play around and give him the ball however you can, you know, he's not your typical bell cow, and he needs to be that guy, that change of pace guy. So you need that guy to be in there and get those carries. And I think that, you know, Chris Carson fits that mold the best. You know, he's their best runner by far this season. And he offers something out of the backfield as a receiver. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe I'm trying to look for something to, like, look forward to, but we need to at this point.
And there are so, so, so many injuries. There are so many injuries right now to even think about. Cam Chancellor has a stinger. On the one hand, it could be nothing. On the other hand, that was Cliff Averill's initial diagnosis, and he may never play another football game. Dwayne Brown's got a sprained ankle. We have every reason to believe it's a lateral ankle sprain. The way Pete was talking makes me think he will be back for the Atlanta game. But if it turns out it's a high ankle sprain, it lingers at that left tackle position. That could cost him 3-4 weeks, or it could just cost him his effectiveness. You go down the list. CJ Procise, injured again. Pete talked about him like he's I don't know. Have you ever owned a car? No, you're 20. You've owned one car. But like, have you ever owned a car that isn't great and it just like is always sucks and like is breaking down on you? Yeah. I did once. And like, that's CJ Procise. And it's just like, oh God, my car.
Because you're like, excited. You're like, oh, I got a car. Like, yeah. I'm unstoppable now. And then like, it doesn't run. And like, yep. CJ Procise can't run right now.
Yeah. So that's, so you got that situation going on. There were some other injuries. I mean, Frank Clark took a thigh bruise, but you know, this isn't the end of the world. And we're talking as if at this point last season, we didn't have an end of the world injury, and we did. Like, we saw what life was like with a hobbled Russell Wilson and a broken legged Earl Thomas and a broken leg on Tyler Lockett, and they still won a playoff game. So, like, it's wild.
Exactly. And let's take a moment and step back and appreciate what we have, because it's still the Seahawks defense, and we have talent on there. And we have frickin' Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, who we really do.
Should be in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Yes. Nathan, I'm going to try to pronounce his last name, Janky, I think it is, from Pro Football Focus, charted that he hasn't missed a tackle in 4 games.
Yeah.
And so I want to take a quick second and say, if that was on mybookie.ag,
yeah,
if that was like a bet that you could make, I'd bet on him not missing a tackle in the next game.
Freeman
and Tevin Coleman against the Falcons. But still, it's Bobby Wagner. He's all world. I think we saw another Hall of Fame caliber showing from him tonight. Yeah. And so,
well, and I think that was really good segue work, Grant. I just want to compliment you on that, because if we had segued to the ad in the middle of the Sherman talk, people would be like, I hate my bookie. But now that we're talking Bobby Wagner, people can be like, oh, I love my bookie. And we can talk about, apropos of my bookie, A, the fact that we both picked the Seahawks to cover, and they did because of that Jeremy Lane blocked extra point. So backdoor, you know, takeaway from Arizona didn't happen. So if you put some money on by a bookie because of us, that was great. And I'm going to pitch two games for us to pick. We didn't do this in advance. We're just going to fly by the seat of our pants. And they're two weird ones. So get ready.
Right. All right. I have no idea, just for full context, what Spike is about to say.
I really love this one, and I love the favorite in this one. And it's the Chargers are going to Jacksonville, and Jacksonville are 3.5-point favorites. And I love the Jaguars on that. Like,
I think I read a stat that the Jaguars have outscored their opponents in the last two games without Leonard Fournette. I think like 50, something like ridiculous, like 50-17.
Yeah. I mean, like, that might not work, but, like, Phillip Rivers, like, so last week, Russell Wilson had, like, an interception to a linebacker where you were just like, oh, man, he just missed that throw, and you're like, what is happening? Phillip Rivers has those throws a lot right now because his arm strength isn't what he was, but he still thinks it is. And so, like, once or twice a game, he just, like, lobs it up to a linebacker. And, like, the Jaguars defense is crazy. Like, the Jaguars defense doesn't let you get away with that even a little bit. He's going to be under siege all day. He's going to be under siege so much he's Steven Seagal, not in the movie Under Siege, but in real life today, for being a terrible human being and having that revealed on Twitter. So Phillip Rivers, under siege. Jacksonville, I don't know. Should I make a joke like that? Probably not.
Wait, hold on. Let me make a better joke. With Phillip Rivers, like, expecting his arm to be like something that it isn't. Like, is Phillip Rivers like last 2 years of his career Kobe Bryant?
Maybe.
Like, because like, Kobe's jumper really wasn't what it was. His defense really wasn't what he thought it would be. Like,
I feel like it's more like an old pitcher,
like,
or something.
Like, it's like on a very like lower scale, because like, Kobe ruptured his Achilles and then like had a bunch of season injuries.
Come on, man! Why are you doing this? Right. Why are you bringing?
Well, because I've been thinking about Kobe all night since Richard.
Oh, of course.
But I'm gonna step away from Kobe, and I feel you on the tired arm for the pitcher.
Yeah.
And I wanted to correct myself because I thought I was being ridiculous by saying 50-17. The Jaguars have actually outscored their opponents in the last two games 50-7. Granted, it's the Indianapolis Colts and the Cincinnati Bengals, but still 50-7.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that defense is too good to only be 3-0. If that game, that looks like the line it should be if that game's in Carson. You know what I mean?
Right.
That game in Jacksonville with the Chargers traveling and starting, it's a 10 a.m. start? Like, are you kidding me? I'm putting everything I own on the Jaguars. That's not true. Never. Okay. So as much as you should put money on buybookie.ag, never put everything you own on the Jaguars.
They will not match that big of a deposit.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you own. What? So anyway, so are you with me on picking the Jaguars on that one?
Yes, I'm picking them, and I'm not looking back.
Okay, so the other one I want to pick, and it's wild. In Los Angeles, the Houston Texans are coming to town and are 11-point underdogs with Tom Savage at quarterback. Jared Goff is an 11-point favorite. Grant, do you believe?
You know what?
Yeah?
I want to say yes.
Right?
I want to be, weird about it. Like, I think, I don't think the Rams can put up 50 points again, because,
They put up 12.
They only need to, seriously, how many times are the Texans going to drive downfield in that whole game?
Exactly.
One or two?
I like the Rams minus 11. Because, the other big line like that is Lions-Browns. The Lions are 11-point favorites.
I don't trust the Lions like that.
Exactly. I don't either. And so we're living in a world where Jared Goff gets that level of trust. I mean, it is in Los Angeles. Because, the Steelers are 10-point favorites over the Colts in Indianapolis. But, those Colts are just terrible.
And not to mention that the Houston Texans secondary was barbecue chicken against the Seahawks.
Yeah. Well, we're both picking the Rams minus 11. Get wild. What do you think that line is if Deshaun Watson is playing? Minus 4.5?
Yeah, that's where I was going with that.
That is crazy that a guy who was benched by their head coach going into the season is basically worth 6.5 points of spread already within the second week that he's out. That's wild.
If there's a bet on mybookie.ag that if Aaron Donald were to get 3 sacks, would you say yes? Would you bet on him getting 3 sacks?
Honestly, no. Because, I don't think he got 3 sacks against Russell Wilson.
Sacking Russell Wilson is a different game than Tom Savage.
He's going to draw so much attention. Like, if you're going to ask me if the Rams are going to get, 25 sacks because of Aaron Donald, I'm like, yeah, but, I just feel like he's going to draw so much attention that, I'd have trouble taking 3 on an over-under. I would take under 3.5 for sure. Yeah, I would probably take under 3.
I think that the Texans have one of the best receiving duos in the league right now, but I think that the Texans should just run the heck out of the ball, honestly, and try to save themselves from as much humiliation as they can. Make that a quick game.
All right, so we should probably get back to talking about the game, because we haven't really talked about the game that the Seahawks won and how just, crucial that was. Holy crap.
All right, I'll try to scrape the bottom of the barrel and find things that I like just for the listeners of Locked On Seahawks.
All right, we can rapid. Let's rapid fire some things that we like. What's something you liked?
Thing that I liked was Bruce Arians having what's left of his soul leave him right when Doug Baldwin caught that jump ball in the front of his face on that Russell Wilson scramble.
Dude, I thought that guy was
absolutely tremendous.
Oh, man. So one thing I liked was definitely Bruce Arians' tan. Wow. Guy is hitting the beds hard. Guy is ready for the offseason.
It's gotten from, you know those big jawbreakers, how they're those really bright colors? He was the red version of that probably the last couple of years, but now he's moved all the way up to sun-dried tomato.
Oh boy.
And yeah. so having what's left of his like skin particles like evaporate away right in front of Doug Baldwin as he caught that ball, I almost like cried a happy tear.
Yeah. Hey, respect. All right. So wait, I've got a real one, which is and something we haven't even talked about is Jaron Reed went out with a hamstring, which sucks because he was looked great in like the three snaps he played. But Nas Jones, how good is Nas Jones? Jesus.
I feel like, you know, I don't want to say, I mean, I guess quietly he's had a very, very productive rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason it's not quiet is because, like, I yell every time he makes a play. But, like, the guy is, if you had told me we were getting his production from Malik McDowell or someone we took at the top of the second round, I'd be like, dope. You know, it's sort of like, it's a little better than the production we got from Jaron Reed as a rookie, who was, again, that second rounder. So to get that from, where was Nas taken? Fourth round? Fifth round? Third round?
First reaction was fourth round, but I'll look it up just to
third round. Okay, so end of the third round though.
Right. So they are 102nd overall.
He was a compensatory pick. And so I mean like wow, what unbelievable production. He looked great again. He's just excellent. He's excellent. And that's awesome. It's a great thing. I mean we let Rubin walk this year. I was like, oh, no, we're going to be able to show and do tackle if Nas Jones isn't good. And he's great. So that's something I like.
No, he's had a lot of plays to have him pop off the field, like off the screen. Like he recovers fumbles. He intercepts balls. And
Sacks.
He gets sacks. And
stops the run. He runs plays down from the backside. He's awesome, man.
Do I want to spit a hot take out right now? I feel like I'm not really adjusted right now. But do I want to spew out a hot take?
Yeah.
All right. With Jaron Reed, Malik McDowell, Frank Clark, and Nas Jones, I think that Nas Jones will have the best career when it's all said and done.
Ooh, that's wild. I don't know if I agree, but sure. I like it. I like all of those guys. They're all great. Love them all. Wait, did you say McDowell? Did you include McDowell in there?
I included McDowell.
Yeah, he's obviously starting from behind. Clark is such a weird one. I mean, Clark obviously, he got hurt again today, but that seems like it'll be something he shakes off.
Something a little shorter term, yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. He's a different type of player. He's that freakish guy who gets you sacks from the outside, but might disappear for a whole drive. You know, whereas Jones and Reed are those guys who are those baseline guys. Sheldon Richardson had a great game again today, too. He made a couple huge run stops. He got the fumble recovery. Like, he was all over the place and looked really good. So that was good. Like, the interior of our defensive line looks great. There was a moment in the game where I was like, oh, yeah, of course. Deion Jordan, Nas Jones, and Dwight Freeney have taken over this game, just as we all predicted they would preseason.
Right. But
so, okay, anyway.
No, for the whole maybe Sheldon Richardson's overpaid argument, like we see tonight, like nothing's given and anything can happen. And so that Richard Sherman injury, it sucks. But it sucks a little less having a guy like Sheldon Richardson generating pressure up front and getting run stops and making it third and long instead of third and manageable. And I think that it takes a lot of pressure off the defense in the secondary. And so I think that without Sheldon Richardson, this Richard Sherman injury is even worse.
Yeah.
So sometimes you got to make the move to go get the guy that you want, and you have to give up a little bit. You got to win games, and those are the moves you want to make if you want to stay competitive and eventually reach another Super Bowl.
Yeah. I just want to say that on Twitter, a friend of mine who's not a Seahawks fan just tweeted something out about how Richard Sherman should have gotten physical therapy. He's a big Blazers fan, so I just sent him a big picture of Greg Oden. Because I don't want to hear about it right now.
There you go. That's like the ultimate hand to the face move.
Yeah, it was maybe too firm.
Yeah, I won't talk about the exchange that Spike and I had last night on air because I don't think I'd be very popular with our fan base. But
oh yeah, what did you say? You said something dumb.
I said
oh,
something
that's
mean.
Right.
I got
That's, no,
low.
wait. You said, "What did you? Didn't you say a Blake Bortles thing?"
Oh no, that was earlier today.
Oh,
And we'll
you did
get
a
to that.
Sonic. Oh yeah. Okay, we're not there yet. Okay, so that's a great tease. Yeah. So let's go into a break for a promo with this great tease. What's the Blake Bortles thing Grant said? We'll be back right after this. Locked On Seahawks. All right, we are back.
Spike, are you sure? Like, I don't think this is a good idea.
So Grant,
no,
Grant Gold,
please,
co-host of the show,
stop.
Tweeted yesterday, and God only knows why. Why did he do it? But he tweeted, what would the Seahawks look like with Blake Bortles at quarterback? Why did you do that, buddy? What is that all about?
Sometimes your mind wanders during a football game, a Thursday night football game. And so
That's how long today was. I thought that was yesterday.
So I just got to thinking, hey, you know, we're really lucky to have Russell Wilson. How would this team look with Blake Bortles at quarterback?
Not good. Not good. Yeah, and I think let's keep rapid firing off good things. Russell Wilson, when Dwayne Brown was in, he looked dope because he had all the time in the world. And then when Matt Tobin was in, he looked dope because he can run away from guys. So shout out to Russell Wilson for being dope.
I think that
he didn't play great. It was not his best game, but he had, 65% completion, 2 touchdowns, no picks, not too many sacks, a couple plays with his legs, right?
Yeah. No, Russell Wilson is by far one of the dopest quarterbacks in the NFL. I think. Yeah.
And he also faked a concussion thing. He, ran into a tent and then immediately ran out
of
it.
Well, no, he didn't fake anything. He just got, a direct injection of, the nanobubbles.
Yeah.
It was a very quick thing. They just, gave him a little shot, got back in the game. Refs didn't like it, made him come back.
Yeah.
But I think that Russell Wilson had, 92 seconds.
I see what you did there, by the way.
Yeah. He had, 92 seconds to throw on one play. And it was an incompletion, too, because he, fled the clean pocket and threw it out of bounds. But I think that Russell Wilson is going to, adjust to, having this much time because he's really not. And so I think, as good of a pocket passer as he is right now, his pocket presence is going to get better with time with Dwayne Brown. And I think we're just going to see him a lot more comfortable in the pocket.
Yeah. You saw him maybe get happy feet a little early, but again, the difference between Dwayne Brown being in and Matt Tobin being in was night and day. It was night and freaking day. And I mean, obviously, you have what are effectively amongst the four guys the Seahawks have penciled in to be left tackle this year, the first and fourth best of them. And two and three weren't great. Two was okay. Three was real bad. So, and one is pretty good. And so you saw what the difference between pretty good and worse than real bad is, and it's not good. But I think that Russell Wilson's ability to sort of deal with either situation is something to monitor, and I think he did as good a job as you could hope for. The team won. I don't want to dwell on it too much. So what else you got? What's something else you liked from tonight?
Okay, so, as we saw on Sunday, it was an ugly, ugly game that we lost, and I think that we should at least be happy that it was an ugly, ugly game that we won. Think about how bad this would feel if all these injuries happened and we had a loss and we fell even further back in the playoff race, in the divisional race. If we lose that game, really kiss goodbye that, home field advantage in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I also want to say, sorry, I just noticed something. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm a monster. But so we knocked, or Tyven Branch went out with an injury early on. We unleashed Buda Baker on the world by accident, and that was a mistake. That was the new mummy, which I watched over someone else's shoulder on a plane. But it appeared that Tom Cruise accidentally unleashed the mummy, and then the mummy fell in love with him. And I feel that way about Buda Baker, who had 9 tackles today, even though he only played 3 quarters. What a nightmare that Buda Baker is going up against us now.
Yeah,
Bellevue native Buda Baker.
I think that maybe it's a ploy to have him play against the rest of our
opponents. Yeah, good point.
So yeah. We'll see him play against the Rams. We'll see him play against, whoever else in the NFC in the playoff race. And then maybe it comes back and works out for us. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't watch The Mummy over some stranger's shoulder on an airplane.
Well, you should have. No, you shouldn't have.
I feel like this has like been our segment about like bad movies that you mentioned and yell at me for not seeing.
No, this one isn't. Well, okay. The last one was The Matrix, right?
No, I feel like there's been at least two other movies that you've mentioned.
Probably. Dude,
but I know by all regards, The Matrix is regarded as a great movie, and I'll have to watch it to confirm.
Jesus Christ. Great, you're killing me. Other things that were good, I say Bobby Wagner was real good.
Right,
KJ Wright was real good. Cam Chancellor, assuming that he's fine, is real good. Bradley McDougal. Can we talk about how good Bradley McDougal is compared to Stephen Terrell?
I'll talk about him in that I didn't see him much tonight. Except for like running up after like a play was stopped like way in front of him.
Yeah.
And like he was basically out of the game for the most part. And that's a good thing. He did his job and the Cardinals weren't really able to get anything over the top. Granted, Drew Stanton kind of overthrew a couple balls.
God, he looked terrible. He was 24 for 47. Also, Adrian Peterson, 21 rushes for 29 yards, including a 9-yarder, meaning on his other 20 rushes, he rushed for 1 yard per carry. And he was complaining in New Orleans about how he needs to get a ton of reps to get going. No, he doesn't. He's bad, and Seahawks are good. So
yeah, and I was...
And he beats children. I don't like him. I'm saying it all tonight. Richard Sherman blew his Achilles. I'm not holding anything back, Grant.
All right, I'm just going to let you cook right now.
Allegedly. He allegedly hit his child. I think he confessed to it.
He did. He had a press conference about it.
Okay, so...
Anyways, we'll get back to good things. The Seahawks, while they weren't able to sack Drew Stanton a whole lot... Well, they weren't able to sack him as much as they could have.
Because they kept getting instances. Called for penalties on every time they did.
Yeah, no, yeah. They got penalized, and there's a few instances where he miraculously escaped a couple would-be sacks and got the ball away or threw it to a receiver. But, like, there's a couple times where I was like, wow, like, Drew Stanton shouldn't be that mobile at whatever age he's at. I think he's 33.
He's 33.
I guess fresh legs sitting behind Carson Palmer. And I'm glad, like, that record that he has, I think he was like 7-2 or 7-3 coming into the game as a starter. Like, I'm glad that record is like slowly like regressing to what it should be, because Drew Stanton should not have that kind of record in the
NFL. He's terrible. Man, we are going long, but I don't even care. I think there's just a lot. We haven't even talked about the refs yet. The refs were terrible. I'm hot and bothered, like, because on the one hand, this is something we're talking about off the air, but like the question of like, are the Seahawks needing to like be more disciplined and stop committing penalties? It's like, well, after what you saw tonight, it's like, well, I mean, they need to stop being oppressed. They were oppressed by these refs. They were called for 12 penalties for 108 yards, including 2 hands-to-the-face penalties on third down, neither of which you could see a hand on a face. It was crazy. The amount of third-down bailout calls that the Cardinals had to get their first 10 points of the game make me physically ill to think about.
I think that, like, the Seahawks have this reputation with fans, like, that they benefit from calls. But, like, and they blatantly ignore when we reply with, like, we're the most penalized team over, like, the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And, like, if they were to sit down for a full Seahawks game, like, not against their favorite team, they would quite clearly see, like, the disadvantage that the refs put the Seahawks in. And I'm not even saying that biasly. Like, this is because I see it on a week-to-week basis. Literally week-to-week. 4 weeks in a row, the Seahawks have had double-digit penalties.
Yeah.
Double digits! Like, that's insane! 4 weeks in a row, that's over 40 penalties. I think it's over 50, if I'm not mistaken.
Because it's too many.
Oh my gosh, I'm getting mad. I'm getting hot and bothered. this is not good, Spike. I think that, like, even with Richard Sherman out, like, these penalties are going to suck more, and it's going to put them even in worse positions. And so, like, the team's going to have to come up even bigger now because they don't have a side of the field being taken away to kind of making up for losing even more ground.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm just... All right. We should probably end this. It's been we've gotten a lot out there. Mybookie.ag, you know, soothe your woes with gambling this weekend. Why not?
Yeah, but you can if you make some ill-advised bets and it's your first time on mybookie.ag, you can use the promo code locked on.
We didn't even talk about Jimmy Graham. He had 2 touchdowns. He had six catches.
Is strong as hell. That's what I'll say. And, like, I'll leave it at that. Because
Doug Baldwin had 5 catches for 95 yards. Like,
Graham, I think, is at least the father of 4 Arizona Cardinals defensive backs. If you use the promo code locked on, you can get up to a 100% bonus on your first deposit. And so we can talk further on Twitter at Lock Seahawks about what happened in this game, what these injuries mean for the Seahawks in the short term and the long term. It's at Lock Seahawks.
And yeah, you can leave a 5-star review, get entered in to win a thing. Someone left a review that sounds like I wrote it, and they call themselves I'm writing a review on iTunes, and they talked about how terrible the president is, which is something that I have been known to tweet about. I'm not going to officially make that the statement on this podcast. It's not the sort of thing we do, but they mimic my voice, and I really appreciate that, and I don't know who did it, but respect to you out there in Twitterland or wherever you live. My God, Richard Sherman. Like, I'm just going to pour out, like, all the beer in my fridge for him right now.
Right. I think, like, we see how this is going to affect the Seahawks on the field, but now we see how it affects Spike in his, you know, his budget and what's in his refrigerator. So it has many levels of, like, of different effects. And so I guess this is a good time to sign off. You can leave your sob story about Richard Sherman in the reviews, and we'll definitely talk about it on the show. So I'm Grant Goldberg.
And I'm Spike Friedman.
And we're both pouring one out for Richard Sherman.